Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture. A better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
The state of California is issuing $187 million in grants for groundwater sustainability and $106 million for projects that will help farmers and others use water more efficiently and capture carbon from the atmosphere. In the face of a worsening climate crisis that's causing more extreme flooding and droughts, Governor Gavin Newsom is highlighting the distribution of nearly $300 million to make California's water supply more resilient and promote climate-smart agriculture. The projects include boosting groundwater and storage. The Department of Water Resources has awarded $187 million for 103 projects throughout the state to enhance groundwater monitoring, water use efficiency, groundwater recharge, recycled water, and water quality. More than $160 million will directly benefit tribes, conserving water and capturing carbon. The California Department of Food and Agriculture has announced the award of more than $106 million in grants to 23 organizations to work with producers to design and implement carbon sequestration and irrigation efficiency projects. For more information on either one of these projects, go to gov.ca.gov. And speaking of the California Department of Food and Agriculture, CDFA has announced the public release of the agency's first Racial Equity Action Plan. The plan is a blueprint for action to guide long-term efforts to embed equity throughout CDFA programs, policies, and practices to repair inequitable systems that serve certain groups over others. CDFA envisions this plan as a guide and the backbone of its work as an agency to address racial equity and also a mechanism to help ensure that AB 1348, the Farmer Equity Act, continues to be implemented across the agency. CDFA is committed to addressing equity both externally and internally within its organization. The agency is comprised of hundreds of staff members who work each day to serve California agriculture, making it a high priority to build and strengthen internal equity systems. The Equity Action Plan is meant to be a living document to be revised regularly to track and ensure progress is being made towards achieving the outcomes and vision laid forth in the plan. Additionally, the plan is in alignment with and complementary to the CDFA strategic plan, as well as the recently published Ag Vision for the Next Decade, which highlights and embeds equity throughout the plan. This is the culmination of CDFA's participation in the 2020 to 2021 year-long capital collaborative on race and equity training, followed by CDFA internal training sessions and discussions on priorities within the plan. CDFA will hold a series of public listening sessions about the plan throughout the remainder of 2023 and early 2024. See the Racial Equity Action Plan homepage on the CDFA website for more details and to view the entire plan. State Assemblyman Devin Mathis, a Republican from Porterville, has announced the opening of applications for the Small Agricultural Business Drought and Flood Relief Grant Program. Established in 2022, the program provides support to California's agricultural industry, which has been struggling to recover from the devastating effects of extreme weather. In 2022, the program received $75 million in initial funding to provide support to agricultural businesses affected by drought. The legislature then added an extra $20 million in state budget to expand the program to offer relief to businesses devastated by flooding. As the assemblyman of a rural district that has recently suffered from both flooding and droughts, Mathis said he knows how important the funding will be for agricultural communities. The Small Agricultural Business Drought and Flood Relief Grant Program is now open for applications. The program offers direct grants that can range anywhere from $20,000 to $100,000 in order to assist small agricultural businesses affected by recent droughts and floods. Interested farmers are encouraged to review their eligibility and apply by logging on to cadroughtfloodrelief.com. Lettuce supplies look to be steady right now out of California. As far as lettuce is concerned, it's pretty readily available right now. That according to Wade Nichols of Buy Fresh Produce Incorporated. He says the pricing on romaine lettuce is also at a normal price, about $10 to $12 a case, and that should stay consistent throughout the next few months as long as no oddities occur. Green leaf lettuce looks to be in the same situation with steady supplies at approximately the same price and the same level as availability. Both green leaf lettuce and romaine are coming out of the Salinas, California region. As for Buy Fresh Produce Incorporated, it is a produce processing plant producing salad kits for major retailers all west of the Rockies. It uses primarily romaine and green leaf lettuce in its finished wholesale and retail finished salad products. With a growing season continuing to run approximately 2 to 4 weeks behind a normal timetable, the 2023 harvest is fully underway in the southern Central Valley, but just getting started or not yet ready to commence in most other areas of the state. According to viticultural climatologist Gregory V. Jones, much of California has received 110 to 200% of its normal precipitation since the turn of the year. The effect of the cooler and wetter growing seasons was compounded in mid-August by the arrival of Hurricane Hillary, which brought a few days of torrential rain and humidity to many areas. The mildew problem that has been in evidence all through the season has therefore continued. Sour rot has become evident in the Southern Valley as grapes have started to get picked. They've heard of significant rejections of fruit, with sour rot the likeliest cause. Zinfandel is a varietal mentioned the most in this context, though that may be simply because it is one of the first varieties to be picked. The Arizona and California Leafy Greens Management Agreement food safety programs have announced the availability of a new food safety tool to aid growers and shippers as they assess risk in crop production environments. This assessment looks at various risks both on a ranch that the farmer controls and on land adjacent to the crop production area. The LGMA has always required that its members conduct an environmental risk assessment, but this new tool incorporates the LGMA requirements and standardizes the way that each member addresses specific hazards, according to Teresa Lopez, Arizona LGMA Program Administrator. After completing the assessment, the user will get a risk score and see what impact specific mitigation measures can have on the safety of the crop. The environmental risk assessment tool is currently formatted as an Excel spreadsheet. The tool requires the user to look at the following adjacent land uses and hazards: animal operations, compost soil amendment operations, non-leafy green crops, water source and systems, urban settings, and other environmental considerations. After hazards and risk considerations are entered by the user, the tool will assign a risk result rating. The user will then enter mitigations that were taken at the farm level to address the potential hazard prior to planting. Based on the mitigations entered, the tool will adjust the risk rating based on pre-assigned mitigation values. These mitigation values were assigned in the tool depending on the impact those mitigations have on lowering the risk to the field. Greg Comar, technical director of the California LGMA, states that Arizona and California LGMA have been collaborating on this tool with the goal of providing food safety professionals with the necessary resources to be effective and efficient in monitoring field conditions and adjacent land hazards. Use of this tool is not required by LGMA members, but they hope that many will take advantage of it. LGMA members produce over 90% of the nation's lettuce and leafy greens, adding up to over 50 billion servings a year. To provide consumers with safe leafy greens, the LGMA verifies food safety practices, enforces through government audits, and requires commitment to continuous improvement.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
The USDA in July awarded Blue Diamond Growers a 5-year, $45 million grant to help implement climate-smart practices. The voluntary cost share incentive program provides co-op members with seeds, plant material, and direct financial reimbursement. The practices covered include cover crops, bee pastures, hedgerows, and whole orchard recycling. Daniel Sonke, Blue Diamond Director of Sustainability, says the co-op decided to apply for the grant because it would help build upon what they were already doing with sustainability and particularly bee health. In turn, he says expanding these practices will be looked upon favorably by the co-op's customers.
As a Blue Diamond Grower Cooperative, we've had a focus on sustainability programs for quite a while now, and a lot of the work has been around practices that drive pollinator health, so cover crops and bee pastures and other practices focused on bee health. And we know that's an opportunity with our customers. We also have seen the growth of interest from our customers on climate smart practices, so practices that can reduce the carbon footprint of an ingredient going to, say a cereal manufacturer or a chocolate manufacturer, or just, products in general, such as our own Blue Diamond branded products. So when the grant opportunity was made available by the USDA, it seemed like a great way to take things that we already were interested in doing for our customers, but providing additional financial resources to make them happen with our growers. Because we know that the biggest barrier to a lot of these practices happening on farms is the upfront costs. And so this just felt like the perfect way to get some money up front to the hands of our growers to adopt the practices, but then also to create mechanisms to bring benefits to our customers that will in turn bring money back to the cooperative for our growers and create a, what they call a virtuous cycle.
The USDA grant program actually complements Blue Diamond's Orchard Sustainability Incentive Program that was launched 3 years ago. Sonke says growers who meet all the requirements receive a per-pound premium. More than $1.74 million has been paid out directly to growers through the program as of last year. If grower members go even further and become bee-friendly farm certified, they receive an even higher premium.
3 years ago, the board of directors of Blue Diamond said, We have a great program on sustainability in the almond industry, the California Almond Stewardship Platform from the Almond Board of California. But we want to move faster as a cooperative in getting growers into the program. And the best way to do that is to pay them some money to go through the program. So the board created a financial incentive where you literally will get more money per pound of almonds that you deliver to us as a member if you go through this California Almond Stewardship Platform, or CAS. And so that was the beginning of the incentive. And still to this day, if you go through the entirety of the CAS program, you can get a substantial payment as a grower for that. But also from the beginning, we created a second higher tier, where if the grower does all of the Almond Board's program, plus do a carbon footprint of your orchard and get bee-friendly farming certified, then you get an even higher tier price. So this program has been very successful. In the first year, we saw 1,000% growth in the number of acres engaged in CAS for our cooperative. And we're happy to say that as of last year, over 40% of all Blue Diamond acres were in the program. And it's looking good for this upcoming year. We have the data in-house already, but we're saving the reveal for our annual report that's coming up. So stay tuned, but it's looking good for an even bigger substantial growth in the number of acres.
The first two practices that Blue Diamond launched as part of the USDA grant program were cover crops, which are planted between at least every other tree row to be eligible, and bee pastures. The bee pastures are planted on adjacent, unused ground and provide forage for pollinators.
We launched our USDA grant-funded project with our growers back in July and have been excited to be able to share the resources with our growers as they go through the application process. The first two practices that we launched as part of the grant funding program is cover crops and then conservation plantings. Now, conservation plantings is a term that's common with the USDA and their NRCS, the Natural Resources Conservation Service. It's more commonly used in the Midwest than in California agriculture. But the way we describe it to our growers is think about a bee pasture that you might plant on a piece of ground adjacent to an orchard Maybe it's where a burn pile was at some point, and you know, it doesn't have trees on it, but it's well suited to provide habitat for the bees, but it's not between the rows of the orchard like a cover crop. So it does all the same things for capturing carbon and providing habitat for bees that the cover crop does. It's just not between the rows of the orchard.
Blue Diamond has partnered with Project APIS-M for the first two practices. Sankey says the two have a long-standing relationship through the Seeds for Bees program, which offers free cover crop seeds to growers. But the USDA program also provides financial help with installation, also known as planting, which Seeds for Bees does not.
We very much want to praise our partners. So for the first two practices that we've launched so far, we're partnering with Project APIS-M. They're well known in the almond industry already because they run the Seeds for Bees program that promotes the adoption of cover crops throughout the almond industry. And we've worked closely with them as a cooperative for many years. So through the program, well, once the grower puts in an application with Blue Diamond and completes the necessary steps, then Project APIS-M will be engaged to sign up the grower and get the delivery of the cover crop or the conservation planting seed to the grower for planting. Now, the grower can also, through the program, get additional funding related to the installation of that seed, which is something different than the Seeds for Bees program. To make a long story short, the Project APIS-M folks are providing the seed through the grant program and providing technical advice and some educational resources for our growers related to cover crops and conservation planting.
Two other practices, hedgerows and whole orchard recycling, have been delayed as Blue Diamond and the USDA work out the details on required reporting. Sankey says the original proposal called for an unusually large amount of paperwork, which Blue Diamond is working with USDA to reduce.
So that brings me to the other two practices that we are hoping to fund through the USDA program. We haven't launched those two practices yet, but they are hedgerow plantings and whole orchard recycling. And both of those practices have been delayed in our launch because in the initial review of our proposal, USDA has been requiring a fair amount of extra paperwork that growers would have to go through to before they could utilize those practices through the program. The good news is we've created a really good working relationship with USDA staff. And even this week, we've been working on a plan to reduce that paperwork workload for the growers. Now, it's going to take us probably several months to work through this process that we've identified before we can get to the point where we've reduced the paperwork load for growers and can launch those two practices with our members. So we're hoping that in the spring, we'll be able to launch all four practices in the next round of applications for our growers.
Once the paperwork issue is worked out, Sankey says Blue Diamond will work with the Pollinator Partnership to help growers design and plant hedgerows. He expects that to occur sometime next year.
Pollinator Partnership is playing a similar role on the hedgerow practice. So if a grower, once we launch that practice, once we clear the application for a grower, then Pollinator Partnership will come alongside with the transplant materials to install the hedgerow, the technical advice, educational resources to help growers get the hedgerows in place and provide that habitat for pollinators and also the climate smart benefits that come along with hedgerows.
The period for growers to apply for cover crops and bee pastures under the USDA program recently closed, and Sankey says they were surprised at the strong response. Growers representing more than 10,000 acres signed up.
We've been very encouraged by the excitement that has happened in the 6 to 8 weeks since we opened the program to growers for cover crops and conservation planting. We've actually gone well over 10,000 acres worth of applications and for cover crops alone, which is exceeding our target for this calendar year. The application period is technically closed now because we need time to process the applications, get the seed orders to the growers during harvest so that once they're done with harvest, they can plant the seed and get the cover crops up and going. But it's been very encouraging to see that the growers are excited about this, that the grant is having its intended impact in getting growers over the hurdle to adopt this practice and put seed in the ground.
Not only do growers win with funding under the USDA grant, but bees and other pollinators also will benefit with more habitat and food sources. At the same time, these additional plantings are intended to help with the carbon sequestration and to reduce the almond industry's overall carbon footprint. This is Vicki Boyd reporting for My Ag Life.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
A new survey from Morning Consult found continued strong voter support for policies promoting the use of lower-cost, lower-carbon, American-made ethanol. Registered voters also indicated robust support for specific legislation allowing the year-round sale of E15 and policy promoting the production of more flex-fuel vehicles capable of using the lower-cost E85 fuel blend. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper says this nationwide poll of more than 2,000 voters shows strong support for important legislative proposals that are currently pending in the House and Senate. Among the results, 62% of those surveyed had a favorable opinion of ethanol, while only 17% had an unfavorable opinion. Furthermore, 67% also support the United States increasing the availability of the E15 blend, and only 14% oppose the expansion of E15. Of those surveyed, 63% support the Flex Fuel Fairness Act, 61% support the Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act, and 61% support the Next Generation Fuels Act. Clean Fuels America has released a new report assessing potential global supplies of used cooking oil. Specifically, the report looks at used cooking oil to meet the growing demand for biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel through 2030. In 2022, global used cooking oil trade reached 3.7 billion gallons. With anticipated demand and added value from biodiesel and renewable diesel production, the supply could grow between 5 and 10 billion gallons by the year 2030. With additional global used cooking oil collection, the potential supply could increase by an additional 4 billion to 7 billion gallons. The report indicates that the U.S. has the most well-developed used cooking oil collection system due to long-standing practices for its use and disposal. How has USDA's Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities progressed in its first year of existence? USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain has the story.
It has been a year since USDA announced the project supported through its Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities Investments.
We were pleased that the 141 projects, basically all 50 states, all major commodities, specialty crops, the whole nine yards, organic, conventional ways of production. Exciting to see the diversity of American agriculture participate in this, crop production as well as livestock and all species.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack in Wisconsin Wednesday, recognizing the anniversary and highlighting some of the first-year successes associated with the program.
Around 90% of the contracts have entered into a specific signed agreement or in the process of executing the agreement, and we've now begun the exciting opportunity of reaching out to farmers, encouraging them to participate.
With the Secretary adding resources now available to encourage farmers to participate in climate-smart practices while developing markets that would pay a premium for a climate-smart commodity. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
All but one of the eight major fertilizers were less expensive compared to last week. The only fertilizer higher was anhydrous. The nitrogen fertilizer was 9% more expensive compared to last month, with an average price of $693 a ton. The remaining seven fertilizers were all lower compared to the prior month. Two fertilizers were notably less expensive. 10340 was 14% lower compared to last month, with an average price of $611 a ton. Potash was 8% less expensive, looking back to last month, with an average price of $518 a ton. The remaining five fertilizers were slightly lower compared to last month. DAP had an average price of $738 a ton, MAP at $745 a ton, urea $563 a ton, UAN 28 at $356 a ton, and UAN 32 at $390 a ton. Heavy-duty row crop tractor unit sales continue to increase in the U.S., while overall farm tractor unit sales in the U.S. and Canada declined in August. The Association of Equipment Manufacturers reports 100-plus horsepower two-wheel drive tractors and four-wheel drive tractors were the only segments to grow year over year. Both those segments, along with self-propelled combines, remain positive for the year. The biggest overall growth among tractors happened in four-wheel drive units, growing more than 20% in August. AEM's Kurt Blades says that North American row crop farmers continue to add and adopt new technology to their equipment fleets to help reduce costs and improve yields. Overall unit sales of U.S. tractors are down 4.6% compared to sales in August of 2022, while combine sales declined slightly, up 2.4%. Canadian tractor sales improved their pace versus the previous month, falling just over 6%, with combines declining more than 17%. New data from USA's Economic Research Service shows that Americans don't have high ratings for their diets. In a period covering January of 2017 to March of 2020, just under 3 in 10 adults, or 29%, reported the healthfulness of their diets was very good or excellent. That is 3.5 percentage points lower than the corresponding share reported in 2005 to 2006. The data can be found in the latest publicly available wave of the Flexible Consumer Behavior Survey, which collects information on U.S. consumers' knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs about nutrition and food choices. For context, 41% of adults surveyed in a 1989 to 1991 continuing survey of food intakes of individuals rated the healthfulness of their diets as very good or excellent, suggesting a continuing downward trend in the health quality individuals ascribe to their diets. FCBS is a module of the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, and its data reflects national trends about changing dietary behaviors of U.S. consumers.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.